This is the word of God from Luke 24, verses 1 through 10. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. May God add his blessing and his understanding to the reading of his word. Well, it's Sunday. It's Easter. Let me take you back to Friday. These women, as they went to the tomb, had to have that on their minds. That had to be what they were thinking about that morning. Their expectation was that the one that they loved would be in the tomb. They went there to prepare him to stay in the tomb. You remember, there was a big stone that had been placed over the entrance to the tomb. They probably expected to have to find someone, some way to move that giant stone. I can't imagine that their spirits were very high. This was a hard trip. This was a difficult task. But you just think about the reality of death. I'm sure that's what Mary and Joanna and the other Mary, that's what they were thinking about. This is what it says in Mark. It says, "Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he died, he exclaimed, 'This man truly was the Son of God.' Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph." That was Jesus' mother. "And Salome," she was probably Zebedee's wife, which would make her the mother of James and John. These women, they were grieving. They were confused. These were terrified women. If you think about it, watching the whipping and the beating and the taunting of Jesus had been a terrible ordeal. The nailing of his body to a cross was pure horror to these women who loved Jesus. And his death was bloody and terrible and ugly. It was real. And they had every reason to believe that it was final. So as they walked to the tomb that morning, they had to deal with a loss of hope. I thought about Mary, and I thought as she walked to that tomb, her mind must have gone back to that angel that had visited her before Jesus was born, and the promises that he had made to her. He said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Your son will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. He will sit on the throne of David, and his kingdom will never end. He will save his people from their sins." What are those promises now? Mary's hope, probably Mary's faith, had died along with her son. The object of those glorious promises lay dead and cold in a borrowed tomb. In her state of grief, it certainly must have crossed her mind, maybe it wasn't God at all. Maybe the whole thing was a figment of her imagination, a delusion. Maybe she just wanted too much for her son to be special. And what now? How could she live? What would be the point? Her son had died as a criminal. Who's going to stand with her and help her now? Now, before Mary and the others, what stretched out before them was the yawning abyss of doubt. You know, doubt feeds on the weakness of faith. It grows more powerful and more dominating until it swallows up your joy and your purpose and your will to live. Doubt surely must have ruled that hour. But love endures. After all is said and done, a mother still loves her child. No matter what the verdict is, friends still care for one another. Even when grief and despair are at their height, a mother must go and care for her child. And so very early in the morning, on that Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. You know, because it was the Sabbath, they were unable to complete the preparations of Jesus' body for burial. They could not leave those important rituals undone. And so they went to the tomb with the spices that they prepared. Death changes a lot of things, but it doesn't change everything. Responsibility to family and friends, that remains. Somebody told me down here in the South, when there's a death, the women go to cook it. And you know what? All around the world, busyness and activity is kind of part of the healing process. And so it was for these women. And there's one other thing that remains, and that is that God is always present with his people. In our joy and in our grief, in the midst of tragedy or victory, in hopes and in fears, all these things happen before the face of God. All these things happen in his presence. And he sees, and he knows, and he cares. To the disciples, and particularly to those women in our story, the death of Jesus must have seemed like the worst thing that could ever happen. But on Easter morning, God changed it to the best thing that could ever happen. For those grieving, confused, and terrified women, God provided an unexpected blessing. Verses 2 through 4 say they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. My Star Trek background makes me think they must have just beamed in. And there they were. See, we know from the other Gospels, if you look in Matthew and you look in John, it says specifically that these were angels. These were messengers sent from God. And they were sent to bring a message to these faithful women. And they brought a powerful message. Ask the question, why are you looking for Jesus here? This is the place of the dead. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. It's quite a message. Not he will be, or he could be, or he should be. He is risen from the dead. And you know, that declaration is still true. Sometimes we forget that we serve a risen, a living Savior. Our Redeemer lives today. Jesus isn't in that tomb or any other tomb. He didn't recover only to die again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The writer of Hebrews, he reminds us this. He says, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him. And then he tells us why. Because He always lives to make intercession for them. You see, that same Jesus that was placed in that tomb on Friday now intercedes for us in the presence of God the Father. That was a promise fulfilled. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. And then the angel said, Remember? Remember what He told you back in Galilee? How could you forget something like that? He said what would happen. He said that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that He would rise from the dead on the third day. And they went. Then they remembered. I like what it says here. It says, Then they remembered that He said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell His disciples and everyone else. You see, women are the same today as they were in that day. Now, don't I tell you, you need to tell people too, right? You're supposed to tell everybody. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. But the point is, they did remember. See, God didn't forget. God remembers His promises. Sometimes we don't. And that may be the message for this morning. You see, there are things in life, even for Christians, even for believers, even for those who know Jesus, there are things in life that are hard. What they had to do that morning was hard. But those hard things do not nullify the Word of God. They don't separate us from His grace. The angel asked a good question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, this world tends to draw us in to its godliness, to its godlessness, and its hopelessness. The world tries to put us in its mold and make us think in worldly ways, not in godly ways. You know what I'm saying? Here they were in the cemetery looking for the living Lord. And the angel said, Why are you even looking here? And sometimes we look in the wrong places too. God has a solution for us over here, and we're over here among the dead, trying to find a way out. You see, God is with you in the hard things, just like He is in the good things. God doesn't go away. His Word doesn't become null and void just because we have a trouble or a problem or a hard thing to face in our life. And it says, so they rushed back and they told everybody what had happened. They told everybody what they'd heard from the angels. And the message is this: God is able. God is able. God is able to take tragedies and turn them into testimonies. And that's what He did for the women that morning. That's what He does for us over and over and over again. He takes tragedies and turns them into testimonies. What a testimony they had. What a story they had to tell. It's not surprising that they wanted to tell everybody. If you knew that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, wouldn't you want to tell everybody? God is able to take your despair and He's able to turn it into delight. That's God. That's God. That's the message of Easter sunrise. Way back in the Psalms, in chapter 30 of the Psalms, somebody else learned this about God. Somebody else understood this about God. And so this is the song that they wrote. It says, talking to God, "You turned my grieving into dancing." I think those women, I think they had a hard time on their way to the tomb. But I think they were dancing on the way back. "You turned my grieving into dancing. You removed my sackcloth." We don't wear sackcloth. But you know, if you have our funeral garb on, you have the black on, you can take that off. He says, "You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." Boy, that's better, isn't it? "Clothed me with joy, so my heart might sing to you and not be silent." I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't sing a little tune, hum a little tune on the way back. I think their attitude was different. I think they had a new vision of life on the way back. See, we're on the back journey in our walk. And he says, "O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." That's a good thought, isn't it? "You turned my grieving into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy so that my heart might sing to you." You know, a heart doesn't sing until we get to that place where we cast off the grief and we've cast off the sackcloth and we've taken on the joy of the Lord. Then our heart can sing. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning that we would catch that tune. Lord, that would be one of those tunes that just sticks in our mind that we can't get out of our mind. The song that you give, that song of joy. Lord, I think about those women and the way that you changed their countenance, the way that you changed their heart attitude. Lord, the things that you did in their life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the resurrection. And Lord, we know that that resurrection is real. There's life like that available to us as well when we put our hope and our trust in you. And so Lord, we just pray that you would give us that joy. You would give us that delight in our hearts at what you have done. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.